I'm Betsy Scott. I'm the Executive Director of the Housing Innovation Alliance, and I'm very excited this afternoon to have the members of our home delivery builder panel for our first virtual event called the Housing Innovation Staycation. It's 2 weeks from now on April 22nd. And the home delivery panel is really focused on looking at how builders are thinking about innovation now, what's keeping them up at night, what pain points they have, and how the industry, how their partners could better help them move their products and their businesses forward. So we have the good fortune to have a facilitator, Breck Goen, who's the creator of Hammer and Insta, the largest building communities and social media. He's going to be facilitating the discussion. Hi, Breck.
Hello. Good to be
Hello.
Here.
And we also have three builders with us. So we've got Chuck Chipro from Pulte Homes, Rebecca McAdoo. Tell me if I said that wrong, from Garmin Homes.
It's McAdoo. Yes.
McAdoo. Yes. All right, perfect. Rebecca McAdoo from Garmin Homes and Carlos Salcido from View Homes. You should all read their bios. They're fascinating folks, but just to give you a 30,000-foot view, all of these folks have been in large building organizations, and a couple of them are also working in regional building environments, and they have a diverse background, including quite a bit of experience in offsite construction, purchasing, and leadership of at the corporate level within large building organizations, as well as Rebecca is the president of the division in Raleigh, North Carolina for Garmin Homes. So welcome everybody today. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Betsy.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello. So thought we would do something a little fun. We're a couple of weeks out from the event, and I just, things have changed a lot since we originally planned to do our April event, which was going to be live in Tennessee. And this is our first virtual event, so we're excited about getting this off the ground. Wanted to take the opportunity to kind of set the tone and the stage and share a little bit more about each of these speakers by asking them a few questions before the staycation event. And then you can get a sense a little bit more about their companies and about their ideas and visions around housing innovation. And then also come prepared with questions for them that you what you would want to ask when we're live in 2 weeks. So just want to start off, it seems like forever and a day ago that we were actually in Vegas at the International Builder Show this year. It was just a couple months ago, but there were probably 150,000 people, which is totally different than the environment out there today. So I'm wondering, as I'm talking to you guys, what at the time were your biggest priorities for innovation within either your product itself, your housing itself, or your business for 2020? And to kick that off, I'm going to ask Carlos to share his thoughts with us.
Thank you. In the beginning of the year, our focus was, like most builders, is to get up in front of what is truly innovative and the items and the features that we would put in our houses. And our focus was to go beyond what is innovative and identify what the homeowners or prospective homeowners would truly value in that innovation and what they would hold and what are the items that they wish they had that maybe we have not identified in the last 20 years.
Okay. Great. Same question to Chuck from Pulte Homes.
Yeah, I think going into this year, as some of you may know, we completed at the end of January the acquisition of Innovative Construction Group. And so our immediate task was to start to utilize that operation to start supplying our Jacksonville division with product, with the mindset of focusing on putting as much activity offsite as possible. And that initiative hasn't changed, although our activity has slowed down due to the COVID-19 virus. We are still designing and building and plan to still meet all our objectives.
Okay, great. Has anything, since you answered the second question as well, Carlos, on your front, has anything changed with how you're looking at innovation after COVID?
Yes. The biggest thing that's changed for us is the timing. We are fast-tracking more of the health-sensitive innovations that we're coming up with. Since the country's focused on being hyper sensitive to those items today, but also including what innovative ideas that we can come up with for home offices, where many people have, you know, you have usually the two leaders in the home, there's more than one person that needs a home office.
Right. I'm experiencing that right now myself. So great. Rebecca, what were you guys thinking about at Garmin at the beginning of the year?
You're right, Betsy. It feels like eons ago. we went into it looking at, you know, attainability, affordability, you know, the new A, and looking at density, what that means for different sectors across the United States, and what that also means with products. We were looking at some of the new product offerings where, you know, a much smaller oven or a much smaller appliance selection. We're looking at innovation as it relates to attainability. You know, what new products are out there? You know, to Carlos's point, what are buyers asking? What do they perceive as value? And what do we need to put in our homes or offer as an option? And so we went in really trying to understand what is on the cutting edge, what is out there now, and understanding how we can implement that locally. You know, we're in the process of building 800 and 900 square foot single family homes right now in Raleigh, which is unheard of in our market. It's the first of its kind and certainly has its complexities to it. So there's an attainability factor to it, not from a price per square foot parameter, but from an overall price point, and really trying to understand not only items that are in the houses, but what spaces are important. So that was a big focus going into the Builder Show.
Great. Has anything changed for you from that perspective in the last couple of months?
No, not from that perspective. I will say, though, we've also shifted into just really understanding our product as the ease of purchasing. You know, how is it, how can we make it as simple as possible for our buyers to understand exactly who we are, what we're building, and really understanding from a virtual level what our buyers need in order for this transaction to be still a really great one. I mean, people buy through connection. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people choose to work with us, and connection's at the core of it. So how do we quickly pivot and make sure that we are communicating effectively through platforms like Zoom when we're not face-to-face?
Okay. That's interesting. We're actually putting together a panel discussion, a coffee talk, if you will. That's another virtual event after the staycation that's focused all on connecting with customers in more of the digital environment. So we've been hearing a lot of that as well on our end. You know, and how can you make a virtual interaction with someone feel as
authentic,
close and authentic as you can in person? Because I mean, we had a great time when we went to see some of your model homes a few months ago, and get the personality in your, you know, in your model homes and in your sales center. But how can you translate that online? So that's interesting that you guys are looking at that. And Terry Slavik Suzuki, or Tsuki. Yes, is on your board, and she's actually going to be part of that discussion with us.
Yes,
as well.
That is so great. Yes, we've been doing some really fun social outreach with not only our backlog. You know, we're requesting from our buyers who are in backlog right now, so have purchased with us, and we are building their homes. What are they most excited about as we build their new home? And we're showing that and sharing that on social. We're reaching out to past homeowners that have purchased from us and sharing with us how they are living in their new spaces, you know, during this stay-at-home order. And then also really connecting with our future buyers. To your point, Betsy, and thank you so much for the compliment. We love our models. You know, they're different. They're unique. And how do we translate that virtually where people can feel that same sense of authenticity and a great sense of communication between our buyers and our folks.
Perfect. So, Breck, you have a much different perspective, I think, and probably had some different goals at the beginning of the year. I know Dennis, our president, got a chance to meet you at IBS. It was pretty active out there in the show home area. So what were you looking at on your end for innovation at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I mean, well, our core from day one has always been to empowering the field and the next generation workforce shift through technology. I don't think much of that has changed. I think our approach has just pivoted a little bit. Obviously, from the International Builder Show, it's been pretty incredible to see how tight-knit the building community is when you actually see it from online to actually going offline to shows like the International Builder Show. And those are great opportunities to create those connections like Dennis saw and many of you guys saw at the International Builder Show. My perspective is a little bit different since, you know, Hammer is more of a technology platform. It's kind of like tools like Zoom, you know, where people start talking about, okay, social distancing. It's like, what does that mean? And, you know, right around IBS before the COVID hit and everything, our goal was just to empower people through technology. But now since the social distancing is creeping up into the industry, I think we're starting to see almost more benefits in our products because people are actually starting to realize that because of the current circumstances, they do need to adopt technology to become more effective, not only in their careers, but how they're contacting and keeping up to date with customers, suppliers, the trades, and even streamlining the next generation into the industry. So we are seeing a lot of benefits to this epidemic, fortunately and unfortunately, obviously. But I think what's really has changed right now is we're really honing in on very high touch points with a lot of our members that are joining. And so that's kind of like what Rebecca and a couple of you have stated before this was bringing that personality online. Because before that, it was, you were just competing for attention. Now you're competing with very high touch points with personality.
Right.
And so that's one thing that we've really started to hone in on because we can't do the events right now, like the International Builder Show. That was amazing for meeting people online, putting a face to the company and like creating those relationships. That's what construction is. But now it's like, how do we facilitate that same experience and even exceed those expectations, but online? And so we see... we see a lot of value and benefits that we can bring to the industry, but now it's just kind of adjusting with the current times and bridging that.
Yeah, absolutely. So to end things, and I'm just going to kind of let you guys jump in if you have something on this front to share. But it would be nice to end with a positive note in these times. If there's something that you've seen that you've had to change in your business or an interaction that's changed with a partner or what have you over the last couple of months, what's one positive thing that's come out of the new normal that we've been facing that you think will help your business in the future?
Betsy, I'll take that. It's Rebecca. I think we just talked about it a couple hours ago. We all had a division Zoom call, and we ended our first division Zoom call with playing Never Have I Ever from a PG version, of course. And you know, it's one thing. We certainly understand the environment we're in, and we understand the severity of what we are in. We also think that if we dig deep enough, that there is level of connection that is so needed right now, and that we find that through this we can be a very bright spot for people. And it has enabled us to take a moment and really dig deep into our trade partners, you know, our obviously our people that we are building for, our past homeowners, our future, you know, the people that we'll be lucky enough to build houses for, and to really lean into that and get really great at communicating without, you know, gosh, we did a training a few days ago. I shared with the division, 93% of our communication is nonverbal. 93% is nonverbal. And now we're virtual. So what does that mean? What does that mean for us? The 7% is content. Well, now we are on the phone. We are, again, we're web conferencing, we're FaceTiming, we're emailing, we're texting. You know, there's so many different iterations. What does the new good look like? What does the new great look like? And redefining what is important for our people, first and foremost, making sure that they're safe and set up for success. And then how does that translate to all of the great folks we get to interact with? And so I think that throughout all of this, and I know that throughout all of this, we will be better because of it. We will be stronger because of it. We are flexing new muscles. You know, I told the team, it's like adding another color to a Rubik's cube that we are trying to figure out. And we will figure it out. It's just going to take some innovation and some grace with all of us. And, you know, a couple missteps, but as long as, you know, the core of who we are is good and we're driving towards that process, it's some really neat things are going to come out of it.
I would agree with you. I think anything that forces us to think of innovation and to tackle things in a new way, a lot of innovation comes out of adversity, and a lot of good things can come out of adversity, which is, I think, where we are right now. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, this is Chuck. You know, I would certainly support a lot of the commentary with regards to communications. You know, this has pushed us all to really step up our game with regards to communication. And we're seeing a lot of positives that come out of that. You know, people are finding different ways to, you know, talk to one another. You know, I think the comment Rebecca made about nonverbal communication, very prevalent in our business. So, mm-hmm. You know, forcing people to be not only more articulate, you know, using tools such as Zoom, but also emails and texts and communication. So we're seeing with regards to a lot of project activity that, you know, the communications is actually enriched. We would have the mindset in the past where we couldn't have a productive meeting unless we were all face-to-face. And mm-hmm. We're learning now that, no, this can actually be accomplished virtually. And we're learning from that. And one little small example, one of the innovations we're working on, for some of you might be familiar with the RIA technology, which is small duct HVAC supply. There's eight of us that have invested in the startup company RIA to bring a different way of, or really a different way to design and deliver high performance HVAC with a mindset of being able to do more offsite, to do it faster with less labor. Well, sure enough, at Pulte, we were doing one of the first pilot homes in the Orlando area when this virus hit. Working with the RIA technical people and our own people, we set up a virtual training session for our trades.
Wow.
sure that we were maintaining social distancing, but we actually trained them to implement the system, with really just the video technology, and they were able to learn the techniques and complete the install in a matter of hours, which normally would take 2 to 3 times longer if it was a traditional system. So in this case, Rhea learned a very important lesson. It's like, well, maybe I don't have to have a small army of people out at the job site, you know, in order to train and deliver this information. So just a little example of where we've been able to use the tools that have always been at our disposal to get work done.
Fantastic. And now, since you did that virtually in the first place, you have the recording. So any new people who come on board, or the next time you do this in another market, that's something that you could share. So that's always a benefit.
Always a benefit. We got time-lapse videos, the whole package. So
sweet. Great. Yeah. Carlos, anything from your perspective?
Yes. The one thing, you know, agree fully with what Rebecca and Chuck put out, but the one thing I would add only in that what we've noticed is a re-engagement between our office staff and our trades and suppliers, where when we're busy and everything is going fast, you know, you tend to be a numbers cruncher or an emailer, and the current situation has kind of forced us to rehumanize the contact that we're having and having phone calls and understanding how this thing is affecting both our suppliers, you know, our contractors, even our trades, and it's helped re-engage our staff to understand that the people that we work with that support us are people just like us.
Right.
And I think that we've seen some good interaction and some understanding from our people, which I really appreciate.
Fantastic. And Breck, we'll just close out with any thoughts from you on your end?
Yeah, Breck here with Hammer. All of you guys had really amazing comments, definitely ending on the positive note. Since I kind of have a pretty good pulse on the trade component and people in the field, I've actually never have seen this many people kind of optimistic about the current epidemic. Obviously, it's a struggle when some people are stationed at home and can't work and everything, but I haven't seen this many people positive about, the potential downturns in the market to them just not working. But I kind of think it's a result of a couple things. First and foremost, in the past, construction has never had this level of community, communication, or connectivity with trade partners or customers in the past like it's ever had before. I mean, you're seeing Zoom, like Chuck said, virtual training. Rebecca said 93% of nonverbals communication. And then, you know, what Carlos said is rehumanization. I think this is a massive opportunity to start scaling the unscalable, and by utilizing technology and communication platforms to do that. I also think that's going to birth more personalization around the whole home buying experience with trade partners, with homeowners, with customers. And so I just think this is a really amazing opportunity because we've never had the tools like we have today to really drive innovation forward.
Great, thank you. And you couldn't have ended these questions on a better note. Look forward to connecting with you guys again in a couple of weeks. For those of you listening, if you're not registered yet for our staycation, the folks we were just talking to are from our home delivery panel in the afternoon of the 22nd. So the event's on April 22nd from 10 a.m. Eastern to 5:15 p.m. Next Wednesday, we also have a live streaming event with Dave Cooper Live through LinkedIn. Craig Collin from Tavistock Development is going to be sharing their company's vision as a strategic developer within the Orlando community for what the future of housing and innovation looks like. So he should have a lot of good insights, a lot of good fuel to get you guys thinking about innovation within your business. And then join us, be sure to join us on the 22nd of April for the staycation. And when we post this podcast, we'll make sure we give you a link to more information about the event. Come prepared with any questions you have from the folks that we heard from today.